Carl, what doesn't annoy you? That's the question, really.
No, I'm not going to sit here and... different things annoy me. But I don't just go about getting annoyed.
Seems
stuff
like
happens.
It.
No. Stuff happens.
What's annoyed you this week?
I tend to get annoyed when people around me get annoyed. I'm never the one who's going in somewhere getting annoyed. I'm quite happy-go-lucky me.
You're having a laugh.
No, I'm not.
That's rubbish.
There is nothing
about... No one would ever say that.
No one...
How would you describe Carl Pilkington?
Oh, he's happy-go-lucky. Whenever I see him, he's skipping along, whistling a tune.
I whistle a lot, I've told you.
Yeah, only to annoy people when you're playing Scrabble.
No, I just... At the end of the day, I think the problem is, most of the day, I'm on my own.
Right?
I'm doing DIY at home. I'm quite happy. No one's there annoying me.
Right.
I go for my lunch later than everyone else, so I don't have to see people.
He's like Quasimodo, isn't he? It's like coming down when everyone else is not there.
When no one's around.
Suzanne!
No, but then that's the problem. Suzanne then comes home. She's been sort of with people, so she comes in with loads of energy, and I'm going, just slow down. Stop going on, then she's breaking stuff, and that's probably the last thing.
She's breaking stuff.
She's heavy-handed with all the stuff I've been fixing. She broke the shutters. What else did she break?
Well, you could have done a good job.
I did do a good
job. The shutters? Where do you live? In the Old West?
What do you mean, the shutters?
Some shutters on a window. I
like it dark. I don't want them to see me. What a mom.
So what else has she broke?
She's always breaking stuff. The light switch outside. Heavy-handed. She forces things. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. It doesn't matter how hard you hit it or how hard you pull it. Just tell me if it doesn't work and I'll sort it. That's what I do these days. I'm like a caretaker to Suzanne's house. I'm wandering around replacing stuff that she's fucked up.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, dear. So she annoys you. She comes home. You've had a lovely day of peace on your own.
So the only person that likes you and talks to you annoys you.
When you're at home doing your DIY, I want a picture of that scene.
Okay, right. We've never done this before, right? But let's do a typical day. We've known each other now. How long have we known Carl? Nearly 10 years.
Feels like a long time,
right?
Yeah.
So let's do a typical day in the life of Carl Pilkington.
So, for my first question is, what time does Suzanne have to wake up? Does that annoy you? Does she have to get up earlier than you?
Because she's got a proper job.
The alarm goes off.
What time?
About 7.
That seems early.
Yeah, but I'm used to it now.
Okay.
At the moment,
you spring out of bed, make her a cup of tea, do you?
No.
Right.
I let her get up, mess about.
By mess about, you mean get ready for work?
Yeah.
Right.
She's not being quiet. So I'm awake now, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean she's not being quiet?
Well, she's just banging about, like I say, heavy-handed. I don't know how she does it. It's just doors and stuff. Everything seems like the Hulk's in the house, bounding about. Just don't be heavy-handed with it. When even like pulling the curtains shut and stuff, because it's not her who has to fix it. Do you know what I mean? When she's yanking at them and pulling them open, it's like, just pull them like that. I've put them on a nice rail. Just pull them slowly like that.
Right.
It's things like that.
This sounds like these jobs aren't done correctly.
That's what
they
I'm
are done proper.
No, because if you get if you get a bad pair of jeans and someone says, oh, you've ripped it. A good pair of jeans, they won't rip, boy.
No, just look after it. It doesn't matter if you've got good jeans or poor jeans. Treat them the same. Mm. Look after your stuff.
Mm.
I've always been like that.
I know.
I've told you from a young age, I didn't like people sitting on my bed. After I'd made it. It was like, I've gone to the trouble, I've made it, there's no creases in it, don't sit on it. There's a chair there, use the chair.
Sure, okay. That's mental, but yeah.
It's not mental.
It's the behaviour of a
It's not
that.
Mental.
Mm. Yeah.
So Suzanne's bashing about the place.
So the doors, I mean, what's up with the doors? Do they squeak, or is the catch been done wrongly on them? Or
is it the wrong wood
or something?
No, just heavy-handed. No.
Right, okay.
So
then,
she has a shower.
Right.
If I have a shower, I like to go second, because I've got the Mr. Muscle spray. That she doesn't do properly.
Right.
Do you breakfast together?
Just sit on the bed, have some...
Have you made the bed yet?
Yeah, it's made.
Well, don't sit on the bed if it's made.
That's
no,
mad.
I've calmed
on the
down
chair.
Now. I've calmed down, that's what I've said to her. As I'm getting older,
yeah,
I'm easing a bit.
Yeah, you're like Doris Day.
So sit on the bed, look out the window.
Why are you having breakfast not sat on the bed? That makes sense to me. Either have breakfast in bed, classic, or have it at the kitchen table.
The radio's in there, and it's just kind of...
So you get up, make breakfast, and go back and sit on the bed, because the radio's in there.
What's going on with the crumbs, Rick?
I don't know what the crumbs are doing, but I don't know why I've got two radios.
Hang on, you don't know what I'm having. I'm having cornflakes. No crumbs with cornflakes.
No, but...
So you're having... Two of you are sat there... Are you sat on opposite sides of the bed looking at each other, or are you both sat on the sides of the bed looking at the wall, listening to the radio, eating a bowl of cornflakes?
Yeah.
Well, are you sort of cross-legged on the bed, or your legs are down on the floor?
Just down on the floor.
Right.
Fully clothed now, you've had the showers.
I might have a T-shirt on and me undies.
Okay.
I haven't put my socks on yet, I don't like socks. I'd put them on last.
Why don't you like socks?
They just cut off your freedom.
I don't know how socks can cut off anything.
It's all right if your feet are cold, they're nice to put on, but I don't know, my socks are never that well-fitting, so I don't really enjoy
wearing
them.
But why don't you get socks that fit you?
Because I never buy socks, do I?
They should be the same size as your shoes.
Yeah, I let other people buy them for me, and they're never quite right.
But, hold on, though, this is a rule you've imposed on yourself.
I'm only telling you because you've asked. I didn't come in here moaning about it.
Socks cut off your freedom. Never heard that before.
Okay. Mandela said it.
Well, yeah. Never heard socks compared to the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, I think William Wallace said it as well. Right.
Yeah, imagine that in Braveheart. Just takes his socks off and goes, freedom!
Yeah.
Anyway, then I'll say, right, on your way to work, take the bin bag out.
Right.
She'll do that, and then I get on with whatever I've got to do that day.
Little kiss on the cheek, on the
but
forehead.
But why do you say...
Pat on the head.
Who pats who on the head?
I'll just sort of rub the back of her head. There you go, see you later.
Then what? You're there, you got your pants on, you got your T-shirt on,
well,
you
listen to the news, you listen to what's being said on the radio, we'll have a little discussion about it. Sometimes she's in the mood for it, sometimes she'll go, don't worry about it.
Right, what would she say that to then? What would you worry about if you heard on the news?
I heard something about worms getting teeth.
Right.
And she was kind of going, you know, you're not meant to worry about this news story, this war's going on stuff, you never listen to them.
Do you remember the story of the worms with the teeth? Should we be alarmed ourselves? What was the information?
It was just saying how it was all about nature versus nurture thing.
Right.
And saying how worms that are growing up in a family where there's loads of food around.
What do you mean growing up in a family?
Just a family of worms in the soil.
Right.
They're going through the soil. If there's loads of food for everyone, they don't have to fight for food.
Right.
They're quite happy, they don't have teeth. The ones, like the rough of worms, where there's not enough... It's like a massive family, the kids left, right and centre, but they haven't got the nutrients to feed them all.
Mm.
They fight against each other, and the ones, they're growing teeth now.
I didn't hear the news story, so I'm going out on a limb here. I don't think it was about a worm being maybe more working class and chavvy, though, with like big families. Look at that, they're a big family, can't even feed them all. And then you've got middle-class worms going, well, we've got enough food for everyone because we haven't overbred.
You know what people are like now? They've got researchers watching all sorts of stuff.
Right.
Keeping their eye on everything. When you don't have to worry about it. A worm with teeth, if they've got teeth or not, to me it is not a problem. Not a problem at all. I normally save a worm if I see one. In the rain, on a pavement. If I see it there, I go, someone's going to stand on that, and I chuck it, and I sort of watch it for a bit, see which way it was going, give it an helping hand.
See which way it was going, like it had an aim.
They do, though, don't they? They're always going somewhere.
Yeah.
He was going to the dentist.
You can't tell. You don't know which end its head's on.
Do you check that it's got teeth first? Because there's some crunchy food or there's some soft food.
Like I said, it doesn't concern me, but I listen to it because it's on the radio.
Okay, so it's 8:05. Suzanne's gone out, you've rubbed the back of her head, she's took the rubbish out. You're there. Pants. T-shirt.
No socks.
No socks yet. What happens to the bowls of ex-cornflakes? Where do they go? Have you got...
I wash up.
You wash up. That's the next thing you do, is it?
Mm.
Right, okay.
Now then, do you plan ahead for the day? Do you think to yourself, Carl, make a list of stuff to do, or do you just let it go?
I let it happen. I don't like... The worst thing for me is... planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've told you before.
You don't get anything done by planning, is what
I don't,
you said.
I don't like the idea of waking up going, I've got to do that today, because that's when you don't look forward to doing the thing.
Yep. Mm.
Whereas I get up, I'm washing up, I'll look at a wall and I'll go, those tiles aren't very good, I'm going to rip them off.
So, Jesus Christ. This is amazing. This is amazing. I mean, forget Idiot Abroad, forget the Ricky Gervais Show, let's just have 24/7 Carl Cam. Just think how that would look. He gets up, Suzanne leaves, We get him to, you know, he looks at a wall.
He starts tearing the tiles off. Yeah. It looks like the behaviour of a psychopath, doesn't it?
Oh, so...
Are there handles on the inside of your house?
This is what worries me, though. The fact that you're always doing DIY suggests that you didn't do a good job in the first place.
No,
Steve, am I wrong?
I never, ever do the same thing twice. Once it's done, it's done.
Mm.
I do it right. I take my time. I'd get it done
right.
So
this is other people's workmanship that you're undoing.
Definitely.
And doing properly. Okay, right.
Now, the radio's in the bedroom, so you can't listen to the radio when you're doing your work.
I normally drag it through.
You drag it through? How big is it?
No, it's just a little clock radio thing.
So it's plugged in? Yeah, plugged in. Okay.
Then,
well, hang on a minute. Let's go back, because presumably you've dismantled the tiles. You've got to pop down and get all your supplies, haven't you, from B&Q or somewhere?
Well, I went to Home Base. Might have a walk there if the weather's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, 25-minute walk. That's all right.
25 minutes, a bit of a jaunt, though, because you've got to carry all the stuff back, haven't you?
Depends what I'm buying. If I'm just buying a tub of adhesive, I can handle that. It's if you're getting heavier stuff.
Mm.
What
do you do in that case?
Drive.
Okay, get the motor.
Yeah. But now, I don't like shifting that, because you lose your parking space.
Now, do you put
Doesn't like moving the car, because he loses his parking space. So don't use the car for fear of losing the parking space.
Yeah.
Not if I can help it.
Now, question. When you go to Homebase, or B&Q, or... some sort of tile shop or a lumber yard, do you affect a more working class accent like I've heard Steve talking to his carpenters?
I always do that, yeah.
I don't have to talk to anyone. I know exactly what I'm getting. Straight in there, I know the layout. I've been in there plenty of times.
Mm.
I might have a bit of a browse whilst I'm there, like looking at different tools.
Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't for meeting up with me and Steve and Suzanne being home between, I don't know, 6 o'clock at night and 8 the next morning, you wouldn't talk to anyone, would you?
Do you have any friends that you might talk to?
Yeah, talk to some people on the phone. But then I soon get bored with that.
Right.
About 5 minutes in, I realise I'm not listening anymore.
Who's the last person? You have to name names, but just give a generic name. Who's the last...
What's the point of that?
Old school mate, or is it someone you've met more recently?
Showbiz
pal?
More recently.
Right.
And, you know, it's fine at the beginning. It's like, oh, yeah, that's good.
So what were you talking about that you got bored about?
I can't remember because I got bored with it. And I'm normally... You see, the thing is, these days, people haven't got your proper attention, have they? Because it's a mobile, so you can carry on doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I was ripping old raw plugs out of the wall.
Jesus.
And he was talking, and I kind of thought, I hope he doesn't say what do you think of that in a minute, because I wasn't listening.
Right.
So what's the point of having the conversation?
I don't know.
But hold on, I call you up... It's presumably the first phone call you get. It's the first phone call I make.
Sometimes.
I call you up and I go, what's going on, boy? Right?
Yeah, but most of the time I don't tell you because you'll go, right, what are you doing DIY? Pay someone to do it. And we have to have all that every day, the same chat. If I'm not doing DIY, I wouldn't be doing anything. And then I get grumpy. Suzanne comes home, she goes, what have you done today? And I go, nothing. And I get fed up then, because I don't
feel
like I'm worth anything.
I work harder for your career than you do. I'm always doing stuff to try and get you to do stuff. I'm always trying to get you shows and things, and I'm always trying to get you to get out there and do something towards it.
I don't want to do it. I've done it now.
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
We did the programme. It goes out on the telly. Job done.
Mm.
If people want to watch it, they watch it. There's no point me cropping up on Loose Women asking people to tune into my programme. They either want to watch it or they don't. If they're watching Loose Women, I don't want them watching my programme. There's a lot of crap on the telly, and that's why, in a way, people go, oh, it's amazing, isn't it, that you're on the telly? No, not really. Because there's loads of garbage on there. Anyone can get on it.
Yeah, well, that's
It's
true,
not though. Special anymore.
That's
it used
true.
To be special in the 80s when there was, like, 3 channels, 4 channels. Now it's a doddle.
But that's why you should make special TV. That I like the fact that in anything you do, 90% in any framework, in any genre you work in, is crap. That's why it's nice to be in that 10%. That's why it's nice to do something that's special. You know, the great thing about Idiot Abroad is people haven't seen anything like it before. I'm so proud of it. It's great. So the fact that you're in a genre where something is 90% crap, that makes you look better. You should relish that.
No, because I don't think people who are watching Loose Women like it. They want some sort of flumph telly, don't they? That's that they don't have to. They don't
this.
Have to think about.
Yeah. Do you mean the program The Flumps?
He didn't say flump. He said flump.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now are you spelling flump? It's F L U M
P H.
P H flump. P H flump.
P F.
P F. Oh, PF? Flumpf. Okay.
Flumpf telly.
Yeah, flumpf.
Flumpf telly. So take it this way. So...
And what would be an example of flumpf telly?
What's flumpf telly?
No, I don't want to go slagging stuff off, but no. I'm just saying I watch less and less telly
now. Who would feature in flumpf telly? Who would be a typical person?
Who's typical? Is it those... Is it all for those awful... docu-soaps where people live their life like an open wound, saying, look, me fanny fell off.
I haven't seen that. But yeah, all that sort of stuff. I do, honestly, the amount of telly I watch now compared to a few years ago, it's non-existent. Suzanne comes home at night, I might watch a Grand Designs to get some tips off it.
Mm.
Other than that...
So that's work. You count that as work, don't you?
Research, at least.
At least you learn something.
Does Suzanne like Grand Designs?
She likes to see the end result, to see what it looks like, but she gets bored at the beginning when it's just a load of bricks.
Right.
She's got enough of that at home.
So, yeah. So... And then we'll just sit and have a game of crib. Or...
You'd have been happy in the Blitz, wouldn't you? You'd have been happy down in one of those subway stations.
Oh, Suzanne, what? What? Chimney's gone. Oh, no, what was that? Doodlebug. I better go up there. Oh, leave it. Well, it's fine. Oh, that's bloody heavy-handed, them Germans. They're bloody heavy-handed.
Well, let's go back a bit here. So you've gone down B&Q, you've got your supplies, you've done a bit of tiling. Good job. Please, you're halfway through. Spot a lunch around 3-ish.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you pop out for lunch in a cab?
Depends. Sometimes, Suzanne, as I pat her on the head, she sometimes says, there's some ham in the fridge. And I'll go, right.
I love it. Like, there's a little choreograph. If I better pat on the head. I don't know what's going to eat today. Oh, Carl thinks, like Pavlovian conditioning.
Yeah.
Last time I patted on an head, she told me about some food in the fridge. Bye, love, take the rubbish out. I'm in the fridge. Cheers. Oh. Brilliant, yeah, okay.
So, I'll eat that.
Now, the radio's on the whole time? Is there, because I want to picture this, you're not working in silence, radio's on the whole time. That little squeaky radio that's sort of halfway in the doorway of the bedroom and the lounge or whatever, you've got the radio. And what station do you listen to? You listen to music? You listen
sometimes
to speech?
I listen to sort of speech stuff.
Right.
Sometimes I listen to music.
What would be speech? Like a kind of one of those phone-in programmes?
Phone-ins do me head in a bit. Right. I like, reports on stuff.
Right.
Just little
Radio
things.
5, maybe?
Yeah, 5 Live. That's all right.
So you like to be informed as you go?
Yeah, just so it gives me something to talk about. Because if you're not with anyone all day, your brain's not doing anything, is it? Whereas me listening to them, it's like having someone in the room telling you stuff without you having to chat back. I prefer that. I'm a bigger listener than I'm a talker.
Yeah.
Whereas these days, a lot of people are talking, but they're not listening.
Mm. Perfect.
So,
although you're not listening to actual humans like your friends when they call you up.
Because they're just mithering.
And do you make sure that you get everything done and dusted before Suzanne comes home, so she comes home to a spotless place?
Yeah.
And so she comes in, do you instantly show her the work you've done, or do you just let her notice it for
herself?
Sometimes
I just leave it and see how long it takes for her to go, oh, you've done that.
Okay.
If she doesn't notice it, are you annoyed or are you excited to tell her?
Sometimes I forget.
He does it again the next day.
Yeah, that toilet looks a bit shoddy. I should do that. Wow, sometimes you forget. And so it's not the equivalent of when a lady comes to him and says, oh, you've noticed me new hairdo. Is it sort of the equivalent for you if she hasn't noticed? You don't get frustrated.
Now, you do notice her new hairdos, don't you? Because you say you don't like them. So what does she say about your tiling?
No, most of the stuff I do, she goes, that's good. But sometimes she'll go, why don't we just get someone in to do it?
What, before or after?
Well, it depends what it is. If it's something that's big and has been bothering her, but it's not bothering me, I'm saying I'll sort it out.
But what's an example of something that's big that bothers her and not you?
I had some wires hanging out the wall that I needed to patch up the plaster.
Now, these wires, were they exposed wires, for example, that you could have touched them and got an electric shock?
Yeah.
Well, that is a big thing, isn't it? That is.
Yeah, but we haven't got kids running about the house. Who's coming in messing with wires on the walls? Just don't touch it. I know they're there. You know they're there.
Right.
We don't need to put up a sign. We don't need to cone it off. We know they're hanging out. I'll sort it.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Okay. She's going to get someone in. Well, no, I won't get someone in. Because, you see, the thing is, she got someone in once when the oven blew up. Right? I said, leave it. I'll sort it. I'll look at it. No, you don't know what you're doing. Get someone in. No, let me have a look. No, get someone in. She calls someone up. They come round. the old £80 call-out charge business straight away. They pull it out. They go, oh, it was the fuse and the plug. Now, I could have sorted that out, but she didn't give me a chance. So now it's good now because I've got that on the old back burner. So every time she says, let's call someone out, I'll go, oven. There's a little reminder. So I'm glad in a way that she did. But so now she just leaves it. She doesn't interfere.
No, Carl, you... Carl, Carl, I've got terrible pains. Oven.
Have you sorted that problem?
Not yet.
No, so the wire's still like, hanging out of the wall.
Yeah, yeah. But I know what to do. It's just that I want to do the other jobs first.
Yeah, but she's concerned about that one, and it's also very dangerous.
It's not that dangerous.
Steve, oven.
I mean, you said if I speak to anyone in the day, I normally speak to my mum and dad at some point every day.
Really?
Do you? Every day you speak to your mum and dad?
Yeah.
Could you take us through a typical conversation with your dad? He calls up.
What does he say? What does he say?
He said, oh, I've just been out, got your mum some medicine.
Well, every time he calls, he's
I'm just telling you the last call.
Oh, I see, sorry. Right.
What's the weather like?
What's up with your mum?
Oh, she's got a cough. It's old, isn't it? Winter, cold.
Yeah. Expectorant, did you get, was it a tickly cough or a chesty cough?
I think it's chesty.
Getting expectorant.
Because I've got like a coal fire. And it's when I go there, I'm always coughing and that. It's like smoking 20 a day, having one of them in the house. So, right. She's always coughing. So, yeah, been out.
And she smokes 20 a day.
Been out. Got some Benylin.
Does she smoke, your mum?
No, she used to.
Yeah.
Jacked it in when I was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good.
It had already done the damage.
Yeah, she smoked more through the pregnancy. Yeah. She looked at it and went, oh, I'm not smoking again.
Yeah, or drinking.
Look at that fucking head.
So, yeah, he said, oh, the weather's bad. Is it bad there? I went, yeah. He said, I've just been out, got some medicine. What are you doing? I said, I'm ripping tiles off the wall. He said, oh, that's good. He said, your mum wants me to do the tiling in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So why don't you do it? He said, oh, it's too much of a big job.
Yeah.
So just do a wall at a time. He said, yeah, I might do.
Right. I'm getting fucking bored.
He said he might just sort of plaster over the tiles and sort of, you know, paint over that. I said, well, it's not that good though, is it? Because if you drill into it
Jesus Christ. You
smash a tile in,
The
plaster that's on the tiles can crack and go right across. So it's easier just to take them off. So it doesn't take that long to take them off. Just do the job properly.
Are you going soon?
I'm actually going the weekend, Rick.
So anyway, he just said, oh, I might do that. But he's got nothing else to do. So that's why I was saying...
What are you letting him again in?
Oh, that's good.
Just...
Sorry, go on.
And then my mum might get on. And,
okay. What's she got to say?
Look forward to this.
She just tells me a bit of it. She, like, what was it the other day? She said, oh, have you seen them tablets? That are food.
She's just so like you. She's just like you. Oh, God, what, is she a fucking astronaut? Have you seen them tablets? What a food! Oh,
go on,
God.
What are the tablets that are like food?
No, that's what it is. It's like the spaceman food. They've come out and we're just chatting about them. She's saying, oh...
What do you mean they've come out? Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because we live in a busy world and everything, where people haven't got time to have a proper lunch.
Are you sure this isn't like one of those innovation things that when you can buy oxygen in a canister?
Well, didn't you buy one of those ones, Rick?
Yeah.
What would you need oxygen?
Well, because I was having a race with my mate, and I thought, oh, I'd just have a bit of that on the way around. Right, it didn't work.
How far were you running?
I don't know, it was a race over a mile. And I thought, oh...
So you were laden down with oxygen.
Unfair advantage here. While he was out training, I was just buying something from the innovations catalogue. Yeah.
So you were running and you had a little... You pulled it out and you went, what curses?
I took it beforehand. I thought, well, of course it... Well, one, it didn't work. And
but
two,
what's it supposed to do? To just
I thought it would oxygenate my blood more so I could... I mean, it was... Well, it was flawed. It was a flawed argument. It was a flawed argument.
How much did you pay for
I'll
it?
I'll be honest. I don't know, £5 or something.
So you had a life in which you had enough time, knowing that there was a race coming up, to order something from the innovations catalogue.
Yeah.
What was this race?
We had a little challenge.
Was this a common thing? You had often had challenges?
I think I was on the dole at the time. I think I was about 25. And
I mean, if you're on the dole and you've barely got any cash, you're buying air. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I look back now. It was a folly.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That's what Ricky, how he occupies his free days, Carl.
Come on. 20-odd years ago. I don't... Now I actually work out. Now. Oh, I'd like to race him now. Woo.
How is Usain Bolt?
Yeah, he's good. He's good. He's gone a long way. So your mum calls up. What does she say? She said there's a new pill out that's a meal, yeah.
We chat about that for a bit.
Mm.
And then she always says, watch the road at the end of the call.
Really?
Yeah, she's always said that. Watch the road.
She doesn't mean the film The Road with Viggo Mortensen.
No, she's just paranoid that I'm going to get run over.
Right.
So every time, I've never been run over.
No. Mm. Well, that's because she always tells you to watch the road.
Maybe that's the case.
And do you watch the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think I do.
She means just stare out the window and watch the road.
Yeah!
She's fascinated by it.
Exactly, watch the road. There's cars going
past. There's moving things. There's big bits of metal with wheels.
So, you did walk into a field of nettles once, though. Let's not forget that.
So, you have a call, like a scintillating phone conversation like this every day with your parents.
Yeah.
And does she always try to find a piece of new information she thinks might interest you?
That's sweet, though. That's sweet that he talks to his parents every day. I remember when I went off to university, my brother-in-law dropped me off, my mum came up with me, and she was leaving, and she was sort of crying in the... And I was making up, I was pretending to be really sort of sad and whining about that. And then I thought, oh, I better call her up. She said, call me. Right, so I think I waited to the following Sunday. It'd been about a week, right? And I called her up, and I couldn't just call her up. I suppose it had to be ironic, because I was probably embarrassed about calling my mum. Like, I wanted to speak to her too. So I just called her up, and she went, hello? I went, mum? She went, yeah? I went, it's Ricky. She went, what's the matter? I said, I think I'm blind. She went, what? I went, no, how's it going? She went, you silly bleeder, I nearly had a heart attack.
That's great.
So if you want to spice up calls to your mum, pretend you've had a terrible accident and that you're blind.
I like it when I phone my gran, and the only other people that ever phone my gran is me, my sister, or my parents. No one else ever calls. And every time she picks up, she goes, hello? Like, it could be a monster that's going to come through the phone line. But also, it's like she's never... Like, each time she hears it ring, it surprises her. Like, there's a noise in the house, and she wanders around, she finds an object that's ringing. And she doesn't know what it is, and she sort of hits buttons and tells her, hello?
Well, she's tried three already.
But what annoys me is I'll say, hello, Gran, and she'll go, who's that? Oh, come on! You must recognise me by now. I'm the only person who calls except about three other people.
I'm not the girl.
Yeah, exactly. And my granny, she's had this for years. It's not just as she gets up. She'll go through all of the family's name until she gets to me.
Oh, mine not used to do that. Mine not used to do
so
that.
So she knows it's me, but she'll go, hello, Ron, Elaine, Alex, Steve. But it's the same with each member of the whichever one of us she's talking to.
Oh dear. So you've spoken to your mum and dad, you've changed the tiles, you've had lunch, the telly's not on.
Suzanne comes in, you've made her dinner?
No.
Right.
What happens there?
What time does she get in?
You've done all this by about 4 or 5, have you?
I'm tidying up. I normally keep my eye on the clock. Give myself like 40 odd minutes to clean up.
Right.
Kitchen's all clean, ready for her to make the tea.
Ready for her to make the tea, even though you've been... I know you've been tiling, but that was a sort of... That was a job you gave yourself. You didn't have to do it.
Mm.
No, but I don't do cooking. She knows that. This isn't even a discussion.
Right.
She knows. Like, today, I've got to get some thin chips. So I'll do that.
You mean fries?
Yeah.
Okay. What, it's frozen in the bag or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've got to get some of them.
And what are you having? What are you having tonight?
Scampi.
So, that's shop-bought scampi. Just... what do you do? Just...
I don't know. She just deep fry it. I don't know. I think it's just chuck it in the oven.
Yeah, yeah.
So she'll do all that. I'll eat it.
And sorry, let me just rewind for a second.
I'll eat it. He's listing it in his day's work. I'll eat it. I say, I've eaten that. She goes, thank you. You go, oven.
Do you ask how her day's been? I'm just interested. When she comes in, she's had a
definitely
busy day.
Not.
She's well. Listen, don't jump to conclusions, Rick. All right. Okay, so she comes in...
Let's act it out. Yep. Okay, you've just cleaned up, right? The last bit there, you look back, them tiles look good. You look at the clock. Oh, what time is it? She usually comes through the door.
But, don't know, it can change. She calls and warns me.
Right.
Let's go through.
Take me through, okay? The end of the day.
Right. Vacuuming up, cleaning up all the mess. Phone's going. Who's that? Suzanne. All right. Yeah, coming home. All right, then. See you in a bit. She'll go. I'll put the kettle on, or at least fill it ready, because she normally calls again.
And, what do you mean? She calls again? What?
She calls again when she's out the tube.
Let's do it. Let's hear it. What's going on?
All right. You're out the tube. Yeah, do you want a cup of tea? Yeah. All right, see you in a minute. Flick the kettle on. Get the tea bags out. Make a cup of tea.
Milk?
Bit of milk. Sometimes I'll say, I'll get us a little treat when you come out of the tube.
Yeah.
So she'll get me, you know, a bounty or something to go with a cup of tea.
Nice.
She'll come
in. It's
before
your tea, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's going to be another 40 odd minutes.
So you have a bounty before you have a meal?
Not every day, just sometimes. If I fancied, if I've got a sugar low, I've got a touch of diabetes.
No, you haven't.
I have. I feel like a bit shaky sometimes.
Oh, so you just made that up. So you did. You have got no evidence whether you got diabetes.
Well, I haven't got evidence of it, but I think
no,
I have.
So there's no evidence, but let's believe in it anyway.
Right, well, I have a bounty. That normally sorts it out. To me, that's a sign of diabetes. Otherwise, what's wrong with me? So,
you're just a greedy fucker.
No, I'm telling you, I sometimes need it. I get a proper urge for a Mars bar. I go, I've got to have
what
one now.
What's your bounty for, then?
No, just to mix it up, because I get sick of Mars bars.
Do you? Yeah. Well, when you have when you say, get me a bounty... Have you got an urge for a bounty then, or a Mars bar?
Well, it's just that they're both quite equal in sugar content.
Yeah.
Bounties, there's a lot of that
do
coconut.
You specify then, when you say get me a treat, she says, well what? Sometimes you have a Mars bar, sometimes you have a bounty.
No, that's enough for me. I'll go, when she comes in, it's a talking topic, isn't it? What have you got me?
Topic? Sometimes gets you a topic.
You know, it's something to chat about, isn't it?
Right, okay.
Something to chat about.
So, has there ever been a time... Sorry, I just got to get this straight, Steve.
Sorry, Rick, I just wanted to say... Could you imagine you and I having a conversation about what chocolate bar you've brought me. What did you get me, Rick?
I got your bounty, is that all
thanks,
right?
Thanks, mate. That's as long as that conversation can possibly go.
You're talking about it.
It's a talking point.
Yeah, so what happens? So, what's the last time there was a discussion about what she bought you? Did she ever bring you a bounty and you go, oh, I was really hoping for a Mars bar?
I think the last time she got a bounty, I sort of said, oh, they do a 3-pack now. Do you know how they just have 2 bars? They do a 3-1.
Right, what did she say?
She said, did they?
She said, I want out of this relationship.
No, but that's how a chat starts. And they'll go, yeah, that's why there's fatter people now. Everything's in bigger amounts, isn't it? It used to just be one, like a Milky Way. Now you can get a 3-pack. And then they're saying, oh, there's fat people. Because that's the thing. She's sort of been talking to people all day. I've been tiling, listening to the radio, hearing reports of obesity. So this is a chance for me to tell her what I've learned, in a way.
Right.
So I'll empty what
I've
learned.
I bet she loves coming through that door.
Well, she comes through, take her coat off, I'll go, oh. She'll go, what, are we having scampi still, or have you gone off the idea? And then I'll go, oh, you know, we should get them tablets my mum's been talking about. She goes, what tablets? I go, the food. So see how it's all coming together?
Yeah.
So it's like that, and that's
what does she say to the idea of now living on tablets instead of having some scampi and chips when she comes home after a hard day's work? What does she say
to that?
She
just sort of goes, oh, right.
Mm.
She says, oh, right.
Yeah.
So this important information which you're imparting that you've garnered during the day, her response to that is, oh, right.
Yeah.
So,
and then I'll get her attention at some point. I'll say there's worms with teeth.
I'll get her attention at some point. I'll say, I'm going to bring out the good big guns now.
Imagine.
All right, she's ignoring me. Okay, wait for this. Suzanne, I see you're ignoring me. Yeah. Worms with teeth.
Oh, God. Amazing. Oh, God.
So what does she say to worms have teeth?
I can't remember. She just sort of said, oh, have you got the facts right? I said, yeah. That's kind of it. And she'll either go, oh, right, or she'll... I mean, it's pretty rare, like, it's anything more than that.
So it's not a conversation, really. It's,
no.
Because the response twice now has been, oh, right.
So she's looking forward to some scampi and chips. She hands over your bounty. You go, oh, they do 3. Yeah, whatever. Right? What happens next? Take us through.
I'll sort of say, anything to report? Anything gone on today?
Mm-hmm.
And she knows it's a sort of phase off again. It's like a phone call. She'll go, oh, so-and-so's leaving or whatever, and I don't know these people.
Mm.
And I'm not that interested.
Mm. And she senses that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So she'll go, oh, have you paid the insurance? I go, no, I forgot. She'll go, I told you to do that. I said, yeah, but I've been doing the tiling. She's going, yeah, but you weren't meant to do the tiling. I asked you to sort the insurance out on the washer because the washer keeps breaking. And she won't let me fix it, even though I know what it was. It was the heating element. I said, I know how to fix that. But she was going, no, I don't want you messing with it, because if you flood the kitchen out, it's, you know, makes a mess. So anyway, so I've got to sort that out. I still haven't done it. I should have done that today. Then have a game of crib.
Oh, God!
Oh,
it's
God.
Like being in an old people's home.
I know. But I'll tell you what, put the telly on, because there's some flump on there that might might give you an insight.
No.
No?
No, not until... like I've said to you before, unless she knows what she's putting it on for, it doesn't go on.
Right.
None of this flicking
so
on.
So when she says, let's put the telly on, you go, OK, Suzanne, what are we going to watch?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, what...
And,
what?
And she goes, well, I don't know, should we have a look what's on?
I say, look what's on first.
But have you got a Radio Times or a TV?
Yeah, I've got like a magazine that comes with a paper at the weekend.
OK.
Look through that. If there's anything on your fancy, we'll look at it. If not, we don't need it on. Put the radio on.
Right.
And then she has a look and she'll go, The Apprentice is on. I'll go, OK, you can have it on.
Right.
If she goes, oh, there's... I can't remember a time when I've said, no, you're not having that on.
You're quite patriarchal, aren't you, wouldn't you say?
What do you mean?
Well, that the man of the house rules the roost.
Yeah, you pretty
not
much
really.
Lay the rules down, don't you? They,
no, because she still does what she wants. Even though I'm saying you're clumping about again, making a racket, she does it more. But it works, doesn't it?
Yeah,
sounds like it. And so you've had a lovely game of crib with Suzanne, because, you know, the magic's still there. And what time do you hit the sack?
Don't know, about 11.
Do you go to bed at the same time?
Yeah. So that's it, yeah, that's
so,
the day, really.
Well, hang on, we haven't finished yet. So any conversation before bed?
Depends if the radio's on. I might say, look, here's that story about the worm.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then she'll go, yeah, but look, it hasn't got teeth. It said this, that and the other. And I'll go, oh, yeah, forgot.
Good night.
That's the end of that, really.
Another day closer to death.
Well, that was a free podcast. I suppose we'd call that A Day in the Life of Carl Pilkington. That's a little thank you to all the fans who bought the audiobooks.
It's not much of a gift, is it?
Wow, it's something, isn't it? I mean, I know Carl did it begrudgingly, but thank you for downloading the audiobooks all these years. Carl's very grateful, really. It means he can go and buy as much grouting as he'll ever need. And thank you to people who've bought the book, An Idiot Abroad, and watched the programme. If you still can't get enough Carl, the DVD An Idiot Abroad is out. That's a lovely Christmas gift for all the family. Order that now at Amazon.co.uk or Calm or
yeah,
HMV
or your retailer
or
of choice. Your retailer,
retailer
of choice.
Of choice. I'll go out and buy it. Go
yeah,
out for
get
a
off
walk.
Your arse and buy it.
Go out for a walk and buy An Idiot Abroad on DVD and the book. And what a lovely Christmas gift the Ricky Gervais Show would make as well on DVD.
Animated ramblings from the round-headed moron.
Some people don't even realise that The Idiot Abroad is Carl Pilkington from The Ricky Gervais Show. If you're on Twitter and Facebook and MySpace, and or if you've got just friends you actually talk to via the mouth, then tell them if they enjoyed An Idiot Abroad to get The Ricky Gervais Show on audiobook or DVD. And while you're at it, buy my new stand-up on DVD, Science.
Well, I don't know, Rick. That seems a shameless plug.
Yeah. Well, what was all the other shit then?
Yeah, that was just talking to the fans.
That's because you get a third of all the other stuff.
All right, let's not reduce it to money.
Carl's on it.
On what?
On the Science DVD. I've done a special programme where I interview him for Science, which is amazing. But my favourite bit is probably when he meets Warwick Davis. I stitched him right up. He thought he was going to have a talk about Science. We hid Warwick, right?
Well, that's not hard, is it?
We had to keep him in a different room, and then Carl sat down, thought he was talking about Science, and I went, got a little fella, and Warwick walks out, and your little face, and Warwick confronted him over some of the words he's used. Midget.
Yes, I remember the famous midget hippopotamus story.
Yeah.
I'm sure you used the word midget there far too many times.
Yeah. So there's a few things to buy at Christmas. Go out and buy one of our DVDs or books. This was free. Now pay for something.